the word, brother.
Amen. I hope you had a pleasant afternoon and maybe got a little rest. Now, if you stay over there at Glenn's house, you don't get any rest. He works you to death. We were out walking around the lake 2 miles or something like that. Slave drivers they are over there, I'll tell you. But they feed you well, so it's a good thing. Well, I am glad to be here tonight, and go ahead and put the first slide up there. And I want to just share with you some really exciting things that are going on in the world, and some resources that maybe you can use as well as you think about reaching out to your community and growing as a congregation spiritually and numerically. First of all, I just want you to celebrate with us and praise and thank God for 50 years. We're celebrating 50 years of training gospel preachers, missionaries, Bible teachers all through these 50 years at Sunset. The School of Preaching began in 1962 and continues until today. We're thankful for that 50 years. And we're just calling it our Jubilee year. And that's a biblical thing. Because way back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 25, the Lord told the children of Israel to celebrate every 50 years a Jubilee year, and to celebrate the release of captives, and to celebrate the redemption of the land, going back to the original owners that God had given it to in the very beginning. It was a time of great celebration. And the only sad thing about that is that there is not one shred of evidence in the Old Testament that the children of Israel ever celebrated the Jubilee year. They were commanded to, they were told to, but we don't have any evidence they ever did it. You see, there were some real challenges associated with the Jubilee year. Every 7 years, the children of Israel had to celebrate a Sabbath year for the land. They were to give the land a year of rest and not plant any crops that year. And God said, in the sixth year, you'll harvest enough crops that you won't have to have a harvest in the seventh year. And I'll see that you do that. Well, after seven Sabbath years, they would celebrate a Jubilee year. And for 2 years in the Jubilee year, they would not harvest crops. The seventh Sabbath year, they wouldn't harvest or plant. And then the Jubilee year, which was the 50th year, the 49th year and the 50th year, they weren't going to harvest crops. And God said, I'll take care of you. You'll have a bumper crop before the 49th and 50th year, so much so that you'll have plenty to last you until the 51st year when you harvest your crops. It was kind of a faith deal, wasn't it? I'm going to take care of you, God said. Well, remember, He was the God that fed them with manna and quail in the wilderness and took water out of a rock. You think He could have taken care of them? But, man, that was tough, wasn't it? They couldn't quite do it, apparently. At least we have no evidence they ever celebrated a Jubilee year, but when you come to the New Testament, finally, there was a Jubilee in Israel. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, the news about Him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised Him. And He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue, as was His custom, And he stood up to read, and the scroll of Isaiah was given to him, and he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners," Jubilee. "He sent me to proclaim recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Finally, there's a Jubilee in Israel, and His name is Jesus. He is the provision that God made all along. He's the fulfillment of the Old Testament Jubilee. And so, as we celebrate our Jubilee year at sunset, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about Jesus and our Lord and what He's done to make it possible for our school to train preachers, missionaries, for all of these years. What God has done in 50 years is what it's all about. From that early black and white beginning where Klein Payden, the founder of the school in 1962, was teaching eight men, the eight original students in our school, all Spanish-speaking students, by the way, because the first year of our school, it was not Sunset School of Preaching. It was Latin American Bible School. It was intended to train Spanish-speaking preachers for West Texas. But it wasn't long before Anglos were knocking on the door saying, "We want to be trained as preachers also." And so after 6 months, men of all languages were invited into the school, and it became Sunset School of Preaching and was housed in the facilities of the Sunset Church of Christ. But over these years, God has brought us a long ways from those humble beginnings with eight Latin American students in a little barracks building on the campus of a new Christian college in Lubbock called Lubbock Christian College. That's where it started. And then it moved to the facilities of the Sunset Church of Christ, and now that's our 2012-2013 school, and all of our students in the school now. And I'll kind of break that down for you a little bit. Over these last 50 years, by the grace of God, over 7,000 gospel preachers have been trained through the ministries of Sunset International Bible Institute. And they have been sent out to 113 nations of the world as missionaries and to all 50 states here in the United States. You see, this is what God has been up to. It's the ministry of our Lord that made it possible. And this was just our opening chapel at Sunset this year, as someone challenged our students that were beginning to be soul winners. I want you to rejoice with us also, because a year ago, we set a goal. You see, our God, we believe our God can help us do what we can't do by ourselves. He is able to do, according to Ephesians 3 and verse 20, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. A normal class at Sunset for the last few years has been 20 to 25 students. And we set a goal to have 50 students at Sunset, and we thought that was a huge, huge goal. That's doubling the normal class And God gave us 51 new students in our new class. God is able to do more than we ask, more than we imagine, if we by faith trust Him and work hard and work together. God is able to do great things. So the 2012-2013 freshman and sophomore class, or the new class at Sunset that started in August, and they came from about 15 different states here in the United States and four foreign countries. God just brought all of these people together to accomplish His work, His way. But we had 34 students to continue their studies in the level 2 class, or the upper level class. Now you're going to recognize three people in that picture. There's a lovely lady in a red top right here, and there's a guy in a blue shirt standing beside her, and then there's a young man sitting over there that you might recognize. And I want you to know that Dave and Glenda have just blossomed at the school. They come to school every morning with big smiles on their face. They're talking to everybody. They're excited about their work. Josiah shows up, and he's like he always was. He's just a bright spot in everybody's life. And we're just thankful to God. Glenda is very involved in the ladies' ministries at Sunset now, and they just fit into that class so wonderfully. We appreciate the fact that Iowa is sending students to Sunset. And what I would like to see is that he comes back here and that they help to reach lost souls in Iowa. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Well, I want to make you aware of a special thing that happened this past summer. A church in Pennsylvania, in Altoona, Pennsylvania, way out in the middle of the state. I mean, you just can't get there from here. It's just out in the middle of almost nowhere in the state of Pennsylvania. But it is a church that is on fire for the Lord. And they started bugging us about a year ago that they wanted to have a full-time school of preaching in their church building like we have at Sunset. And I foolishly said to them, if you can recruit at least 2 full-time students and see that they get support, we will hook you up to our system and give you an interactive television conference with our classroom. And they called this summer and said, when are you going to come up here and inaugurate our school? Because we've got 2 full-time students and they've got their support. And so they started that school, and they've got 2 students that actually, through the TV monitor, have a window into our classroom in Lubbock. They see everything that's going on in the classroom, and our teacher can see them on the TV monitor in the back of the classroom. And they can actually talk with their fellow students. They can talk with the teacher. They can raise their hand and ask a question in class. It's an exciting way to study. And the interesting thing is that we could hook up several more of those interactive video conference hookups if congregations have full-time students that need to stay there. What they said is, these students are so important up here in Pennsylvania, where the congregations are weak and small and few and far between, that we need them to be here. So if they can be here and yet take advantage of all of the courses and all of the classes and get all of the same information as the other students and just be a part of your classroom, we we want them to do that. So we signed an agreement with that congregation and inaugurated that school, and we've got those two full-time students that are studying with us every day. One of the really exciting things that happens at sunset is called Adventures in Missions. You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, to a young man, don't let anyone despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in love and faith and purity and in teaching. Be an example. Well, I want to tell you, there are 34, 36 young people that are from 18 to 23 years old, college-age young people, that are taking 2 years out of their college and career life and devoting their life to serving others. They come and study with us at Sunset for 8 months, and then they go as apprentice missionaries, as a part of an apprentice missionary team of five or six young people. They go and serve on some mission field in the world under the supervision of a long-term missionary that we trust. And they serve there for 14 to 18 months. And they give up a big chunk of their life, their early life, in order to serve others and to learn how to be missionaries. Many of them then come back and go through the school of preaching, or come back and go through a Christian college and really develop their lives. And a lot of them end up coming back through the school of preaching later on and school of missions and going into the mission field as long-term missionaries that then will receive other aimers to train. So it's an exciting and challenging thing to see these young people in action as they study in the classroom and then as they go out on weekends to serve in local congregations and finally as they go to some mission field to serve. It's a great way for young people to be involved. Well, we have some not so young people that are involved in ministry preparation as well. And we call these our senior aimers. We have a program called Senior Adventures in Ministry. And it's for retired people. Some of them have retired early and some of them have come there after in their 70s. Some of them in their 80s. Our aimers have been from 40 years old. Our senior aimers have been from 40 years old to 92. The oldest of our senior aimers was 92, and he went to the mission field after he graduated. Well, most of these folks don't go to the mission field unless you count their own congregation a mission field. Most of them go back where they came from, and they just serve more effectively in their own congregation after they come and study with us in the classroom. And by the way, the senior aimers don't have to take the test. So that's a real advantage that they have. There is a team that's being trained that graduated from the School of Preaching, and they've come back through the School of Missions now, and they're taking 6 months' worth of church planting training. And they're going as a team to South Dakota to plant a new congregation in Rapid City, South Dakota. And their plan is to grow a church that will help plant other churches in a state where that is so desperately needed. Wouldn't it be exciting if Dave and Glenda brought a team with them back to Iowa and helped plant some church in a city in Iowa that needs a congregation that doesn't have one? Now, wouldn't that be exciting? So there are all kinds of possibilities for planting churches. You know, when Paul and Barnabas struck out from Antioch in Acts chapter 13 and then went through the area of Galatia. They went through that area and they preached the gospel in every city. But then they gathered those believers together in local congregations. And then they trained some of those believers to be leaders in those congregations and appointed them elders in every one of those cities. And that's how the church spread in the first century. It spread by men and women who went out and shared the gospel of Christ with people in places where the gospel had not yet been preached. And then they gathered those believers together in local congregations. And that's how it all started in the first century, and that's how it can continue even today. Well, as I mentioned this morning, there's always a need for more leadership. In every generation, the next generation needs to be prepared for leadership. And we're trying to do that. We're trying to help congregations to prepare themselves for leadership. All of these congregations, churches in New York, Connecticut, North Carolina, Colorado, 3 churches in Texas, in Arizona, and California, are hooked up to our classroom on Tuesday and Thursday nights directly. And they're studying a course, 8 courses in leadership. And they bring their people together, they sit in front of the TV screen, and they interact with our teachers in the classroom to learn how to be the next generation of leaders. And in most of those cases, one of the existing leaders in that congregation just shoulder taps a younger man and says, "Come with me to the leadership class." And they go together and they study together, and the older mentors the younger and prepares him to be the next generation of congregational leader. It works out really well. Now, if you count all of the departments that we've looked at so far, there's something over 150 resident students at Sunset studying right now. But resident students at Sunset are the smallest part of our student body. God has given us a lot more students than that are studying with us. Because of the curriculum that we have in so many different formats, a lot of people are using this material to study how to be leaders. And they're studying in a lot of different settings. And a lot of those resources are available to congregations and to individuals. I want to just show you a couple of the things that are kind of exciting. All of the written courses that we have, 40 of our textbooks are on this little gizmo. This little thumb drive or USB port contains 40 books, courses that have been written over the years, used in our studies. And someone can just plug that into their computer and they've got all of the books that we have in our courses available to them in written form. That's kind of a neat thing. I'm amazed by all this technology, by the way. And then this is something that we're kind of working on right now. This is a little bit of a work in progress. This is a solar-powered audio player. And this little solar-powered thing has a little SD card in it that's that size. And that SD card contains all of our courses in audio form. you can listen to all of those courses in a little solar-powered thing, and you say, well, I've got a DVD at home. What do I need that for? Well, you probably don't need this. But do you know that there are places all over the world that villages don't have electricity? Huts don't have electricity. And this little solar-powered gadget, when it's turned on, if I can get it to come on, there it is. That little solar-powered gadget.
The study of historical Christian evidences. We're going to begin our study by defining it, by defining what it is and what it isn't. We want to make the definition by means of a contrast.
That's just one of our courses on historical Christian evidences by Ed Wharton. And there are 39 other courses on there in audio form. And can you imagine what this would be in a little village in Africa where 10 people are gathered that need to study the Bible? And maybe a lot of them have just been converted through World Bible School, and they don't have the opportunity to really have a more in-depth Bible study. They can just kind of sit this thing out on a tree stump somewhere and sit around on the ground and learn God's Word in depth. And so, just another way to get the message out. And that's what we're trying to do. We're just trying to get the message out to people in every possible format, because we believe that the world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The largest part of our school has never been to Lubbock, Texas. In fact, the largest part of our school has probably never been to the United States of America. The largest part of our school is our international schools. In Romans chapter 15, Paul talked about the fact that he had already preached the gospel in all of these regions, and he said, my goal is to preach in the regions beyond. And therefore, he asked the church at Rome to help support him to take the gospel to Spain. We began in 1997 to take the gospel and the training of gospel preachers to countries that didn't have training programs for preachers. And we started schools of preaching in the local language, in the local culture, in the local economy. And now, after a number of years, there are 40 or 64 of those schools in 40 different nations of the world, in their languages, in their culture, dotted in nations all over the world. And in those schools today, more than 2,500 gospel preachers are being trained in their own language, in their own culture. And they're all using essentially the same curriculum that's on this little thing, the same curriculum that's on this thing, in various formats and adapted to the culture and the language of their part of the world, but essentially using the same curriculum to train them to preach and teach the gospel of Christ to their own people. And that's just one of the schools. Ukrainian Bible Institute in Donetsk, Ukraine. But there are schools in Cuba, in Mexico, in Europe, in South America, Central America, in Asia. Places like Singapore and Cambodia and the Philippines. And there are schools in Africa, in Nigeria, South Africa, and Sudan, and Ethiopia, and several other nations in Africa. And those schools are studying together, preparing gospel preachers to preach the Word of God to their own people. Well, that's kind of what's happening right now. But there's some things that are coming down the pike this year that I thought you ought to know about. This year and early next year. First of all, there is Sunset Sunday that we've set up for October 28th. And what we're asking congregations to look at on Sunset Sunday is the churches that don't have preachers. Did you know that 25% of the pulpits in churches of Christ in America are empty? 25% of our congregations do not have a trained and equipped preacher to share the Word of God with the congregation. You're blessed here. You have at least two guys that can get up and share the Word of God with this congregation. But there are congregations all over the United States that have no gospel preacher. And they can't find one. And I know of churches that have been looking for a preacher for 2 years and can't find a preacher to come to their congregation. Now, that's here in the United States of America. Imagine the churches in Africa, in Cambodia. Imagine the villages in South America where there is no one to preach. Our goal is to have a trained gospel preacher in every church, in every nation. Now you say, boy, that's huge. It really is. But we have a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, all that we imagine. But we're going to have to do a lot more than we're doing if that's going to be a possibility. And so we're just asking churches on or about October 28th of this year to take a special contribution toward training the next generation of gospel preachers for the world and for the United States. It costs, on the average, $12,500. Not the support of the preacher. We appreciate the fact that you guys are taking good care of Dave and Glenda and supporting them so that they can study at Sunset. But it costs us at Sunset $12,500 to train every one of those people. And so we're asking you to help us train more. And so we're asking congregations all around the United States to take a special contribution to help churches that don't have preachers to have a preacher in the future. And then next January, we're having our next workshop. And this workshop, several of you came to our workshop this past year, and we're glad you're there. I hope a bunch of you will come. Just get in the church van, and if you don't have a church van, just load up in Glenn's Cadillac and come on down. But come down, and we're going to, our theme is going to be Meet Me at the Mount. We're going to talk about meeting God at the mountaintop. And it'll be exciting. You'll have some exciting speakers. Keith will be there. Keith Lancaster will be there leading the singing. It is going to be outstanding. And we hope you'll come and take advantage of that opportunity. Well, this hasn't been like a gospel sermon, but it's sort of been a survey of what God has been up to for 50 years. And really, when you think about what God can do by faith with a bunch of stumblers and bumblers down in Lubbock, Texas, imagine what He could do with you folks by faith if you just trust Him, keep working, set your goals high, and plan for God to do great things in your life and in your church. I believe He will. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, then we ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.